us to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where some friends from Fife talk about everything and anything that takes our interest. The first rule of Fife Club is...
Talk about Fife Club!
That'll do. Thanks very much. So thanks to everyone for listening last week, and thanks to Jamie for hooking us up with Joe, and thank you very much to Joe from the Kingdom Brewery for chatting with us and giving us a wee insight into the local beer scene. It was very, very much appreciated.
Hang on a minute. Did you hook up with Joe when you were outside?
Well, I was scared as well.
That's
what I heard there.
No, we did not.
If you listen, well, actually, Kutch, outside. Kutch, if you listen to the podcast, if you listen to the podcast, I come outside and quite clearly say there's people fucking in the bushes, and it's Joe and Kutch recording.
It wasn't that kind of hookup. It wasn't that kind of hookup.
Well, I just won't tell my cousin about that, and it'll all be fine.
So that was very, very much appreciated. I would also like to say sorry for the state we were in at the end of last week's podcast. I genuinely hope it was entertaining. We were a wee bit of a mess.
Maggie had to go home because she was too far gone, I hear.
I wasn't too far gone. No, I was genuinely... Do you know why I went home?
I heard Fife wasn't ready for Mag's drunkenness.
No, we went home because it took about 45 minutes to get everybody to leave the room, and it was really boring, and me and Craig were standing waiting for ages for years, and we couldn't be arsed, and we went home and had toast and a cup of tea.
That's not what Craig messaged me to say. He had to carry you home because you were, like, comatose.
I bought 10 tickets, and I drank my 10 drinks, and then that was me, home time.
Oh, we went back to Mark's, and if you thought we were drunk then...
Oh yeah, a little birdie told me you were a bit poorly in the night, Kutch.
Did you wait?
It was in the morning.
Silent
There's
producer.
Somebody in the other... Nodding, she is nodding.
Silent producer told me that you were very poorly after the beer festival. Oh,
yeah, it looks from the miming that's going on in the corner, I would suggest so.
It was a nasty hangover, probably one of the worst.
Is that a really bad pint?
It's
a bad pint.
No, it was several bad pints.
Oh. Yeah. Bad pint. Not your fault.
So, anywho, around the mic with my good self Kutch tonight is a man as robust as an Islay whiskey. It's Jamie.
Hello, robust and rotund.
And somewhere in the same postcode is the Lady of Muck. Of course, it's our Mags.
I think Jamie might be KY11, and I'm KY12, so just to clarify that. But hello, yes, I'm here.
It's a KY postcode. It's closer than I am. And finally, a new Fife Clubber again. It's our very own Eilean Sarr. Her nickname, probably, is Loud of Lewis. It's Lizzie.
I'd be happy if that was my nickname.
What is your nickname?
Yeah, Tote's not talking about that on recording. Hi, everybody. I'm so excited.
So if anybody doesn't know, Lizzie is, in fact, Mag's older sister. So I'm really sorry for what's about to happen.
I warned you. I said this wasn't a good idea.
No.
I think the rule was no two halls in the same hall.
Never have two halls in the same hall.
But we're technically not in the same hall because we're doing this between Dunfermline and Stornoway this week.
I think that the extra audio is causing my connection to drop out already. I think that's what's to blame. It's the two
halls. I think so.
Yeah. So also we've been having one or two technical difficulties. So if people drop in and drop out, then you know we're just going to have to deal with it. So you know, buckle in, Fifers, buckle in.
I'd like it to be known it's nothing to do with our island connection, our high-speed fibre optic connection. Just say.
You know what? We were in a charity shop earlier on, and it was nice to see that
they were in Bethesda charity shop.
Oh, I love the Bethesda. I once went to the Bethesda and bought a golf club and a golf ball to go and play crazy golf because we didn't realise that there was a man with a hut where you can hire them, so we bought one and then we gave it back to the Bethesda again afterwards.
Wow. Well, we were in there and it was nice to see that that Stornoway's finally got Sony Walkmans. I had a nice Sony Walkman there, all in its original packaging. So
probably worth quite a bit of money, that, eh?
They're very trendy. Imagine. Like, they sell them in, like, Urban Outfitters and stuff now.
Well, bloody hipsters.
It was the only one in the store, so I'm assuming that, you know, because they got a shipment of them, they've sold out, mm-hmm. and people are wondering what this new witchcraft is.
Oh, yeah, that's the least of your worries. If you think people don't have Sony Walkmans, they've got a whole lot more to learn about my island.
Are you having a nice holiday so far, Kutch?
Oh, well, there's a question.
Oh, dear.
This holiday has been an adventure, to put it no small way. We decided that we were going to come away, me and the silent producer, and go on a little journey, which took us meandering up the A9 until we finally got to Ullapool. So our first night was going to be, was at Moness Resort in Aberfeldy. First stop, about an hour and a half up the road. Got up there, about maybe, half an hour before we actually got to Moness. The car started screaming like there was birds being killed in the back of it.
Birds with an eye? Or
oh, you got there just before we left me.
Yeah. So, yeah, when we stopped at Moness, got out of the car, there was an absolutely horrible smell coming out of the back driver side tyre. It was also so hot you could have fried an egg on it, which instantly, you know, made us wonder what the hell had gone wrong. So we phoned up.
Had you forgotten to take the handbrake off?
No, we hadn't forgotten to take the handbrake off. That would be impressive.
Greg once drove across Shetland with the handbrake still on his work car.
Jesus. Yeah.
Okay, it's Shetland though, they could have done with the warmth.
We phoned the RAC. They sent a lovely man out from Blairathel Garage who told us that, there was no brake pad left on the brake and that it looks like it was probably jammed. Although the wheel was moving, it was still free moving, that essentially that the screaming noise was the brake making glass beneath it. It was running so hot. He said it wasn't drivable. So the next morning, we had a lovely evening in Moness, and the next morning we phoned up the RAC to try and figure out what our options were, because we really wanted to get to Inverness, which was our next stop. The problem with that was that it was a Sunday, and we couldn't find any garages open in Inverness that would guarantee us the car would be sorted by Monday evening for when we needed to head to Ullapool.
Because it's Inverness, eh?
It's Inverness and it's a Sunday.
They're all right with Sundays there.
Yeah, well, they were.
Garages down here aren't open on a Sunday, though.
Yeah, like,
you'll find one or two, but most of them are shut on a Sunday.
I think the only place that was open was a Quick Fit, and what are we taking the car to a Quick Fit?
Push it a million pounds, and they would still be broken after they'd finished with it.
So, in the end, we decided to get recovered back to Kia Kirkcaldy.
You came home again.
That started putting it started putting a downer on the trip, because we thought that was kind of it. But then we realised that that we could potentially do it on public transport.
I think I told you that, though, eh? I don't think you realised.
I don't know. I think we realised, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we started putting a plan together, and we got recovered from Moness at about, 1:30 was it? Yeah, 1:30. By the time we got moving, 2:00. We got to Kirkcaldy at 3:30, I think, about there. And then my mum and dad were there, who were going to take us back to Rosyth. Instead, they took us to Kirkcaldy railway station, because there was a train in 15 minutes. So we got off, got in, packed as much stuff as we could to take, that wasn't the stuff we were taking in the car, jumped on a train and got to Inverness. So, yeah, we were back on track. Because the next day we had figured that we could do also from Inverness to Ullapool on the bus.
Great. We're modern brilliant. With that. We have public transport public up transport. Here. Modern.
So we went to Inverness, had a lovely night in the Kingsmill Hotel in Inverness, had a lovely meal in the Black Isle pub. Oh, the Black Isle
so
Brewery
good.
Pub.
The pizza yes. amazing.
Amazing pizza. Yeah. Tons and tons of organic Black Isle beer. Absolutely amazing. We... that morning we went in to Inverness and we hung about Inverness until the bus came.
Oh, you went to that awesome bookshop. You yes, love that bookshop, Meggie. The one in the old church.
Mm, I do. Yeah, that's a good. I put Kirsty onto that. Yeah, no, it's good.
It's an awesome bookshop. It felt very like a large size black books.
Totally.
But yeah, we.
It's a shame Mark wasn't with us. You could have totally reenacted it. And me, actually. We could have had a moment.
Yeah.
Like the original. We could have had Bernie and Manny and, well, Bernard and Manny and Fran. And we could have all been there together. The silent producer is frantically trying to find a photo and I'm wondering why. I feel like it's not going to be complimentary.
On the socials to go along with this, just explaining what the Manny Bernard Fran like. Reference.
It was very much like a giant black book.
Awesome.
There was leather bound books, and I did want to ask him if they were real leather and see if he asked me if I had real leather bound pounds. but yeah, so that was that, and then we finally got on the bus to Ullapool, but there was a small hitch with that in that Hurricane Ophelia decided.
Ex-Hurricane Ophelia. Yeah. I really enjoyed how they were describing it.
Ex-Hurricane Ophelia.
I feel like my ex-partner was like on the news every day or something. It was really funny.
It made landfall, and obviously Ireland had been hit pretty hard, but the winds had picked up enough up round like Ullapool, well, up round the Western Isles, the Minch, Ullapool, that, it was a bit wild by the time we got to Ullapool. There was also that eerie, orangey-red sky.
See, now that never
it
made
really
it here.
Dark as well.
We didn't get that. It was dark, but then it's October, so it was always dark here.
We had that in Dunfermline as well, that sort of orangey sky. That was because of the forest fires in Portugal and stuff from the Sahara or something I read. I don't know.
Yeah, I read it was dust from the Sahara getting whipped up and it made it like pink. It only lasted for like 15 minutes or something at Dunfermline, but it was weird.
Tell you what, it was too bloody windy to get dust here.
Oh, yeah, it was... It was odd. It was just very, very eerie. But yeah, we got on the bus.
And Ullapool's kind of eerie anyway.
Got to Ullapool, got to our accommodation. That was fine. There was problems with the ferries on that day because obviously the winds and everything. There was the 2 o'clock ferry from Stornoway got stuck just outside Ullapool for
7 hours.
Yeah,
those 7 people
hours.
Were on that ferry.
Should have got in at what, about half? Four?
Half five. The ferry
half five.
Gets in,
it got in at 9:30 at night. So we were lucky we weren't on that. However, they seemed to be pretty confident that things were going to be back to normal in the morning.
Wasn't though.
We got sort of kicked out. I say kicked out. We got kicked out of our room at 11 o'clock. Went down to we were actually got up at 7 to go and get the 10:30 ferry, and it turned out that the 10:30 ferry had been cancelled. So they reckoned that there would be one at around about 5:30. So we went down to the terminal to see what the story was, and by the time we got down there, they were telling us 9 o'clock. So, right, fine, 9 o'clock, we'll do that. So come back at 4, we'll give you an update and confirm exactly what's going on. So we went back at 4, and then they told us it would be anywhere between 1 and 3 in the morning that the ferry would leave, which meant we had to find emergency accommodation, otherwise we were going to be sleeping rough in Ullapool. Yay!
Yeah, been there, done that.
But thankfully we did manage to get into another guest house.
The floor of the terminal in Ullapool is surprisingly comfortable.
Yeah, we weren't willing to find out, I don't think.
Just didn't have a sleeping bag. See, no. This is the key. See, when you're... I was about to say, see, when you're an islander, that there's many a person up here that would be upset by me using that phrase. But either way, when you're an islander, you learn to do things like never travel without a sleeping bag. You know, when you were younger and your parents, well, dads, let's be fair, dads always said, or was this just our dad?
I think this was just our dad that made us have a shovel and a sleeping bag whenever we met.
Is that in case you kill someone, you can bury them? Yeah. It's the shovel.
It's for the birds in the boot. shovel, sleeping bag, flask,
5 litres of water,
5 litres of water, high vis jacket, like
some lime, baby,
lime, a box of lime.
No, gin. This is our dad, remember. So I almost always have a sleeping bag in my car, and it's pretty much predominantly for if I get stuck on the, like, because actually, and they never tell you, if the ferry gets stuck in Ullapool and can't leave, then they actually let you sleep on the ferry. But interestingly, the night before, the ferry had it been so rough, it didn't even sit on the pier here in Stornoway. It sat out in the middle of the harbour.
Because they couldn't get in.
They will let you sleep on the ferry, so I always have a pillow and a sleeping bag. But I do wonder, it might have just been our dad that made us travel with those things.
Yeah, I think
snow
it was.
Shovel, yes. Snow shovel in June. Yeah. And you have to check your tyres.
So that's why Vance is always going round with a snow shovel in Dunfermline.
Yeah.
Never had to use it, but it's not the point.
And why Alex wanders around with a snow shovel all the time down in there.
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Tell you what. No, I tell you what Alex does still do, though, and he's been in New Zealand for, what, about 10 years or so?
Oh,
always goes out with a jacket just in case it rains.
Oh, no. But when he came over that Christmas and he didn't bring a jacket with. That time he came over in 2010 for 6 months and lived in a caravan in the back of Mum and Dad's at Tain, and at no point had a jacket for the entire time. And we went to Mull and he didn't have a coat. Oh, he just left it in the car, didn't he?
No, he'd left it in the car. He did have a big coat that time, yeah. Anyway. So did you get there in the end, Koch?
So yesterday we got the 10:30 ferry and it was running.
Yay!
It was only running 15 minutes late. So at the end of the day, we got here.
Yay!
See, Koch. Cutch, see, next time I ask you if you have a nice holiday so far, go and just say yes. So that's been 25 minutes of the podcast already, and I'm regretting asking that question.
Yeah. Yeah. The main point away to take away from us listeners is that God hates Cutch.
Now, to be honest, if you're trying to get anywhere and you can't get there and it's to do with God, then it is here.
Yeah, that's...
Because he does rule the place.
Well, yeah.
God/council, same diff here.
Yeah, you ruddy islanders.
only an islander when I want to use that phrase about myself.
that was us getting here. We're here now, and we've not done an awful lot. We went out for dinner last night.
No, we didn't.
Kirsten, no, we went out.
Sorry, the producer made us dinner.
We
last
went out
night.
For lunch yesterday. Then. Yes, silent producer made us dinner, and then we went out to a pub quiz, which we were.
Oh yes,
we were the best team, based from five.
Five-based team. We were the best five-based team
at that pub quiz.
In the pub quiz.
How many teams in total were there?
That is not important information.
So, about this pub quiz. I mean, you've done this pub quiz before, Max.
I've done this pub quiz before.
Yeah.
We were doing well. We nearly won it, and then the last couple of rounds we tailed off at the end. But we were in the lead for a good part of it.
See, this is held in like a new sort of craft brewery. Well, it was opened about Easter time. Yeah, and he does a pub quiz every week, and you know, it was thoroughly enjoyable.
It was thoroughly enjoyable.
Where did you come? You have to tell us where you came.
We were fourth.
First best five based team.
We were fourth, and so I've got some different content now.
Out of five teams, and one of those teams joined halfway through.
One of them joined halfway through.
Did they beat you?
No.
If they'd have done one more round, they totes would have.
It was, wow, guys.
It was beyond hard.
It was a difficult pub quiz, but then there's also that problem where I'm really lazy about remembering information. and I just like to use my phone. So,
but there were several teams in several rounds where the highest score of any team was like three points.
Yeah.
It was...
Oh, no, that's too hard for a pub quiz.
I got really annoyed.
You want to feel like... Yeah, you want to feel like you could possibly get full marks if you were geniuses.
We could
but if it's... That's just...
Even the food and drink round, which, you know, we should have been good at by all means. It wasn't a food and drink round. It was a bloody translate different languages round. Because every single question was, in what country would such and such be referred to as such and such? You're like, that's not even about the food and drink. He gave us... pasta in English, like different shapes of pasta, and we had to say what the actual Italian name was, and it wasn't, you know, like penny, it was like stuff we'd never even heard of pasta, and I bloody love pasta. It was
try me, I'm quite good at pasta shapes.
There's one about a pot, a little pot.
Pot, yeah,
but I couldn't tell you what the answer was.
A little pot.
Little tongues was one of them, which I should have known this.
Oh, I know that one, yeah. That's like little, it's like little strips, and it's named after, what is that? Like, come back to me at the end of the podcast, and I'll know.
Did they have a sports round? Because Kutch is part of the
do
sports
I know?
Round
there was a sports round.
He did this when we did it the last time,
It was one question, and I got the question right, and the question was...
Where will the Calcutta Cup be next?
Oh, where will the Calcutta Cup be played next? Which I took a punt at and said Murrayfield. And got right. It was either Murrayfield.
See, that's it. 100% Kutch, me and you, sports champions.
Exactly.
Mad about the football we are.
We are absolutely mad about sport, us.
Can we just clarify that I once hosted a Green Party fundraiser?
Oh, I've never heard about that.
Possibly the only place you'll ever do it. Possibly the only time you'll ever see a pub quiz where people are less sporty than Kutch and Jamie. And Kutch and Jamie got the highest mark in the sports round. So now they think they're sports quiz champions.
It's a proven fact.
I'm genuine. I've been in teams that have won sports round, but I have never on my own back won a sports round in my entire life. It was huge.
It was amazing. It's like, Jamie, is it not you that's only played the lottery once and won?
No, I played it. No, that's not true. I played it once when I first turned 16 and won a tenner. So I didn't play it to keep my 100% record. But I have played it since, and I've lost it more times now. But then the third time I played it, I won a tenner again. So
I have a friend who, the very first time she put a lottery ticket on, and she was an adult, like it wasn't, you know, on her 16th birthday type chat. Very first time, got £10,000. And then...
What?
And then...
Who was that?
I'm not going to say, because it's private, but she did.
Okay.
And then about 2 years later, she bought another ticket and got £500, and she's never bought a ticket since.
Oh, my goodness.
She's losing more money each time she buys it, so...
So, yeah, that's it.
She needs to... That's why I didn't play, because I thought it'd be unethical, because I was guaranteed to win if I played again. So...
Yeah. I've never bought a lottery ticket in my life, so I feel like I should.
But I've never won anything. I don't think I've even won a tenner on the lottery.
I don't think we ever have. Have we? Have we? What have we won?
And I'm not allowed to gamble because I've got a problem.
Won anything. Got a problem. Yeah, the 2 pence machines.
I can't help it.
They do.
I've got me and my mum and my grand.
There was a test case recently about them in the courts because they were like, the European court were like, this is clearly gambling. You're allowing kids to gamble. And the UK were like, it's not really, but it is. It actually is.
It's the greatest thing.
It's totally gambling.
Remember, it's not rigged. Alawa shows, when we were kids, Alawa shows, go in the waters. Yeah, chips and curry sauce, Maggie vomits in people's posh cars, and I played a lot of money on the 2p machines. It's great fun.
Lizzie used to save up all the coins in the house and go out and pick them up and then like go to Alawa with all our 2p's in a plastic Tesco bag and just like stand and put them. No, she would have like a plastic bag.
It wasn't just me, because my mum would do it the same.
Oh, mum would do it as well, yeah. There's like a total scam. Coins in the plastic Tesco bag, but I'm going to Alawa.
Tesco. It would have been Quicksave or William Wallace.
It would have been Quicksave.
I'm just going to say, aye, that's the Fife way. Take your tooth to another region.
Yeah, and one time, this is my favourite thing that I ever got at the shows, was the time I won the bingo at Alloa shows. I won a Remington bikini trim and shoe. I was about 17. We weren't little kids, it was just me and mum were there, and yeah, we'd gone for a sneaky trip because my mum had a bit of an issue with going to the Alloa shows to gamble, because really, given my mother's religious convictions, she shouldn't gamble. Mm-hmm. And also, given that the church she went to was in Alloa, she was always like super nervous that somebody would see her gambling at the Alloa shows. So she would always stand at like, just the very back machine and hope that nobody saw her.
I was just going to say, I used to gamble every now and again, but only on like boxing and MMA, because the only things I know enough about to gamble on. Mm-hmm. But I found that it ruined my enjoyment of it.
Aye.
Because I just watch it because I love watching it, and I don't, you know, I have a few fighters I want to win, but basically I just want to see the best sort of fights and tactics and everything else. But when I bet on it, I'd get really annoyed when the person I'd bet on lost. So I do it on boxing every now and again, but never on like MMA or that.
It's definitely like a genetic thing, or some people get it and some people don't. Because Lizzie and Mum are so into it and they can spend hours, and I found it really boring on the penny machines, and I'm not into putting a gamble on at all. Like the football and things like that. I just think it's a waste of money. And I don't know if it's just because I'm a cheapskate or if it's because I've not got the gene.
Maybe you've got a cheapskate gene, though. That's a
category. You've got that's cheapskate gene. No, I think the thing with gambling, it is a thing, and I can't explain it because it's not, I mean, like, we're joking about a 2p machine and stuff like that, and I do love it. Mm-hmm. But I would absolutely go 100% like all out for a gamble. When I was at uni and we would go to the casino, and everybody else went to the casino because it was open till 7 in the morning. You would come out of Fat Sam's and you would go into the casino, and you would be, and everybody, most people went so you could get your, like, basically a full dinner. No, you could get like a full dinner at 2 in the morning, and it was fine. And I would go in there and go straight to a roulette table, and I would be there for hours. You had to take, I used to go in and you got wee lockers, and my purse went in the locker, and I just took cash because I would have had my house and car keys on that table. And I can't explain it. And even like the races when I lived in the Borders, we used to play for races. I used to gamble crazy on there.
By the tap bars in New Zealand.
It's
the only country in the world where you get like bars and bookies.
Oh,
and it's called a tap bar. It's just a pub. It's a pub in
the bookies.
That's how
to lose money.
And you can just go in. It's really, really dangerous. But like, even in there, like, Lizzie would go in and they would be like New Zealand horse racing on, which isn't even like, or greyhound racing, or the trots, which is like when men have, they're in like little, they call it the trots, yeah, it's chariot races. And if you turned your back, you'd be away putting money on the trots, like whilst you were like ordering a pint. It was very dangerous.
Sky. I don't know if they still do it, but we used to call it the dags. I don't know what it was actually called, but it was computer generated racing. Greyhound racing.
I wouldn't
they used to do the horse racing as well.
When we'd come back from the town, we'd spend a lot of time watching this and betting against each other. No money involved, really.
See the point in that.
Great.
That's a true gambler. I see no point in doing these things if you're not doing it for money. Like, I have a few friends up here who have like a wee poker club, and I went along one night, and what they do is they put a tenner in a kitty like the week before, and then they take turns to go and buy the prize, and then they do it for chips, and whoever has the most chips at the end of the day gets, and you're talking like a good bottle of whiskey or something like that. I'm like, there's no point in that. I'd rather just like play bananagrams than play poker for a set prize, because you can't ever get better than that prize. So what's the point? Also, you've already paid your tenner. So I'd rather just go and buy gin.
A cheap bottle of gin.
It's just not, I don't see the point. Like, unless you're gradually building on your earnings, then why wouldn't you do it?
I think it's gone a bit mental though with like in-play betting, because like if you watch a football match in this country, an advert comes on, in half time, like, oh, with new odds for like something that's not going to happen, just to get people to bet on it.
Yeah.
But really good odds. And that, you know, that's in real time for that specific match. Yeah. It's mental.
It's also really offering like the free £10 bet, which is.
Yeah. No, you're not allowed to do that anymore, are you?
I thought they were still offering free £10 bets.
I think the most they can give you is like £3 or something. They have really reduced if you sign up for online. But they're not allowed to advertise online gambling.
I'm pretty sure they can give you free £10 bets if what you win is bets. Yeah. So you don't actually. So we're not actually giving you tips. So you say, oh, free £10. But then if you win it, you have to spend all that money on other bets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's but that's how they get you in there, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
Anyway, the lottery is great because poor people play it, and it pays for only things rich people go to. Just to bring it back to the lottery,
like the Kirby it pays and the Falkirk wheel.
Yeah.
It pays for gymnastics training in private schools
and for tennis academies.
Hey,
an opera.
Judy,
I'm legally not allowed to talk about that.
Judy Murray's Tennis Academy is a.
She's not allowed to talk.
It's a public service.
No.
Can you mute your mic? Can you mute your mic, Max? Because you're
not allowed to talk about that. Please, can we move on? I can tell you about we nearly won a pub quiz.
Because that's what we were talking about. That's so right.
We started talking about lovely, friendly pub quizzes, and then you got into the darkest depths of my addiction. But we went on a wee holiday this weekend as well. We went on a mini break to Peebles. Mm-hmm.
Did you get there okay? No hurricanes stop you. No.
Have you got a 40-minute story about your journey to Peebles?
No. No, we got the podcast fine, thanks. Yeah, that was totally okay. We did stop off, and we stopped off and we went to Abbs and Abbs Head the night before, which was lovely, and had a wee camp on the beach. Even October, and it was lovely and warm, and we found a wee sheltered bit, and that was very nice. But Peebles Hydro's like one of these resorts. It was I was going to say it's a bit like being in The Shining. It was a lot like being in The Shining, but there were other people there, and there was no blood coming out of the lifts, which is good. But anyway, it's that big Victorian resort with lots of corridors, and it's kind of like half been renovated, so like the rooms are really nice, and like the dining room and stuff's really nice. But if you like stray off any of the main corridors, you find these rooms that are like shut up, like boarded up, and they haven't been like open since the 1960s, and it's very strange.
Because they've got ghosts in
them. Yeah, they've got like Jack Nicholson. And also, they've got like pictures all over the walls. They've got pictures all over the walls of like the hotel through the ages, and like old photos of staff who used to work there and stuff like that. And I told Craig that I'd seen a picture of Jack Nicholson on one of the pictures, and he got really freaked out. So But one day, so they have like family. There's like a nice swimming pool and stuff like that, and there's like tennis courts and things, and they have like family activities in the evening. And so one night they had a family quiz, and we have to do that quiz. So me and him went, and it was literally all like parents with like their 7-year-old children and stuff. And the rounds were like, there was a round about like children's films and really easy geography and stuff like that.
Did you just go all out and ruin them all?
Totally. Like we went fully. We put all our effort. At no point did it say that you had to have children. And also, there was one team there that had at least 7 people on it. Now, I don't care how old those people are. 7 is too big for a quiz team, and they should have been made to split into 2
Even
different
if they
teams.
Are 7.
Yes, exactly. So there was only 2 of us, and so we thought that was fair, and so we came to join first, and then and then had to do a tie break, and the tie break, so the team set up like a wee girl to do.
Oh my god!
Did you beat her physically as well as psychologically?
No. So at that point, I decided I better let this little girl
Actually,
win the tie break.
Not
and
know
the question. Well, I was a bit owls, and I was like, I can probably make a guess, but this wee girl was really excited, so I'll let her answer. But it was good, because it turned out that the first prize was like a selection pack, and second prize was a bottle of wine. So we got second prize, and we got the bottle of wine, which was amazing. I think she might have fixed it a little bit, so that we got the wine and she got the chocolates. It might have been the other way around if I'd come first, but yeah. So yeah, that was, we were Team 5 Club representing, and so we did a lot better than you guys at the pub.
I'd like to point out we were at a family quiz for children, and we were at the most solid pub quiz in the world.
excuse me, naming all the seven dwarfs is quite difficult, actually.
You were just playing against. You were just playing against the seven dwarfs, though, Max.
No, there was some patterns. So yeah. So, oh, and the other thing I did when on our mini break to Peebles, so I don't know if we've mentioned before, have we discussed the commercial before on the podcast and about how awesome the commercial is? And that's our regular. So the commercial for a long time, for several years in a row, was the second best pub in Scotland and Northern Ireland, according to Canberra. It seems to have dropped down the rate. They've not been entered, or they've certainly not been finalists for the last few while. But anyway, this year, just like about a month ago, they announced the winner of the best pub in Scotland and Northern Ireland, and it was in Peebles.
So we went
to the Bridge Inn in Peebles, and I have to say, I was very impressed. We had a very pleasant afternoon pint at the Bridge Inn in Peebles. So what would be your perfect pub? Like, what? List all the things that would be in your perfect pub, and I'll tell you if the Bridge Inn has it.
Yeah, a fire.
Open fire.
A dog. Yes, I had a fire.
Oh, fucking hell. That's high up the list already.
Does it have sort of like wooden seats and a moulded ceiling?
Moulded or mouldy?
Moulded.
It's like a sort of a Tudor type pub on the bridge at Peebles, and it did. You went inside. The upstairs is an Italian restaurant, which I'd actually been to the last time I was in Peebles, but we didn't go this time. And then the downstairs is the pub, and it's got like bay windows with like all the wood on it, and it had a big wooden bar. And it had, we went in, and it was 3 PM, and there were locals in it, and they were friendly locals, though. They weren't angry locals that told you to fuck off. They were nice locals that were like, oh, we would recommend this pint or that pint. Are you having a nice time with Peebles? So that was nice. Also, despite the fact that the average age of the clientele was well over 60, it was like early October, it was fully decorated in Halloween stuff as well. And they had adverts everywhere for their Halloween party that they were having. But literally, like, we were like the youngest people there, and then the barman, and then everyone else was probably in their 70s, to be honest, as well. So that was a good effort. They had three cask ales on, all of which were from the Borders. Three different breweries in the Borders, but yeah, that was nice. So I had a very nice pint of Born in the Borders Foxy Blonde.
Oh, that's really nice. I've had that.
Yeah, did they have any?
They've had that in the commercial, actually, I'm pretty sure.
I think I've had that in commercial as well. It was really nice, very refreshing. It was afternoon, so we want some snacks, but they didn't have a kitchen. But as the barman put it, they had a very good foil buffet. We didn't know how before. A foil buffet is their selection of crisps. And they had at least 8 different types of crisps.
It sounds like some sort of sex act involving drugs, to be honest, foil buffet, but...
Foil
best description
of crisps. A foil book. I know. I like that. Now. So that's my new term when we've got the pub. It's like, can I have a selection from the foil book?
A number of years ago, I was on Barra. Now, the thing with Barra is you remember arriving and you never remember leaving. And I'd been on a sailing holiday type thing. Anyway, ended up in Barrett, and it was before I moved up here, so I was waiting to get the ferry open. And it was epically delayed because it's Barra, so, you know, nobody's that bothered. So anyway, the ferry was supposed to be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was about midnight before it arrived. So we sat in the Castle Bay Bar. And the Castle Bay Bar is attached to the Castle Bay Hotel. And the Castle Bay Hotel is where you would go for food. But the Castle Bay Bar has a menu. And I've heard of this type of thing, but I thought it was a legend because it had only come from my dad and my uncle Alec, and I didn't think it was real. But this menu, it said starters, and underneath it said crisps, and then it said nuts, and then it said main meals, and it said cheese and ham toasty, cheese and tomato toasty, and a cheese and onion toasty, and that was it. And
that's classic Scottish pub, though.
One of the people I was with didn't, Maggie will get this, didn't want cheese. So he asked if he could have a ham and tomato toast. Now, both of those things were available in various forms. No, he couldn't have a ham and tomato toast. So we eventually ordered these toasties. And how this worked was, because there's no kitchen, it's the Castle Bay Bar. But what they do have behind the bar is a toaster. And you know those bags? that you put in the toaster machine. Uh-huh. Fair enough. So what the women does, we ordered our toasties probably about 10, 15 minutes between them because we were also using the showers. So when she needed to make a toastie, she phoned the Castle Bay Co-op. And the Castle Bay Co-op brought this woman, and this is not, it's not a joke, this is true, 2 slices of bread, 2 slices of cheese, like plastic cheese, and whatever ham slash tomato slash onion combination you'd gone for. And they just brought her this. And she would put it in the bag and put it in a toastie. And then 10 minutes later, and we'd all said we were going to have toasties. So, but no, no, they didn't bring her a loaf of bread. Nah, they just kept bringing up individual slices of bread and cheese slices. And no, he couldn't have a ham and tomato toastie because that wasn't on the menu. And that was all in all the Castle Bay Bar in Barra, and I don't remember leaving. it was really good. You can get Tennent's. That's what you can drink there. Tennent's.
Well, we had a discussion about that last week. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tennent's. Love-hate relationship with Tennent's.
Anywho,
we've kind of, run a fair bit. That's been about 40 minutes now. I really think maybe it is time that we sit back, quieten down. It's Radio 4 time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Desert Island Dicks. However, this week, it's Hebridean Island Dicks. So, we're going to have a wee chat about what items we would bring to survive on a Hebridean island.
So, I'm going to go last on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go last.
Okay. I'm going to go first then, because I've got the really obvious one, which boys always forget. And I've always got it with me, and that is midgie spray. Like, any time. I mean, midgie spray is pretty much an essential survival thing anywhere in Scotland, but especially if you're going to a Hebridean island, and if you're not lucky enough for it to coincide with Hurricane Glenda, or whatever her name was, then you absolutely have to have midgie spray. And I'm going to be a little bit cheeky here, and I'm going to bring a second item just as a backup. If the midgie spray isn't strong enough, I'm going to bring an old pair of tights.
You can also rob banks as well to survive.
Are you stopping the midgie?
Well,
you about to make the biggest heist on the Hebridean Isles?
Where would you take the money once you'd robbed the bank, by the way? On the ferry.
No, it's just to keep them, like, they don't bite your face if you've got a pair of tights over your face.
It makes it more difficult for them to bite your face. I think
if you've got like a baseball cap that you could like pull the tights over the peak, and then also spray yourself with the midgie spray as well, because the ladies, face it, they're pretty brutal. Like, if it wasn't for midgies, like, Scotland would be inundated every year with tourists. So I'm kind of grateful to the midgies for keeping too many tourists away. But also, they are
the
fucking brutal.
The first night we went to Bute Fest on the Isle of Bute, that was, I was covered in midgie bites for weeks afterwards because it had been, like, no wind, such a glorious day, and, they were just everywhere. And we were right by a burn as well, so that really helped things.
Well, that's the thing, though. That's, like, when you're on the Hebridean Island, you're always near water. It's not like you can be like, I'm going to go up the hill and get away from the water. It's like, no, because there's a burn or there's a loch. Or you're down on the beach. You're literally always near water, so you can't get away from the beaches.
No, that sounds like a very sensible thing that you would take with you. Yeah,
it is sensible. Also, I would take enough for everybody, but I would charge you £1.50 every time you wanted to use either my midgie spray or my tights.
I think I would watch yourself. Because Jamie might have some kind of protection racket going on that means you'd have to pay him a surcharge.
What? Jamie's got a protection racket.
All right, so I'll go into my one then, because it will lead into that a bit of my protection racket.
Of course.
Which I usually get going. That's how you win. That's how you survive on these fucking islands. So
that reminds you of Lithia.
Now, I'm going to bring some sort of energy-generating equipment. I'm torn between a tidal turbine or a wind turbine.
Okay.
And then I'm also going to bring up an electric car so that I can charge it via that turbine. And on the heat of the battery, I can cook things as well. And then I can drive around. And if anybody threatens me, I can just drive away really quick. And then I can also tow around equipment.
Drive away to where?
Around the island. I can, however you want to chase me, I will be going faster than you.
Oh, mate.
The Tesla Model S can get 0-60 in like 2.3 seconds or something.
But mate, you've never been in Stornoway at rush hour.
Oh, totes happens twice.
Oh, that's
when
a good
the
point.
Ferry comes in.
Oh.
I am genuinely surprised about how busy the traffic is in Stornoway.
There are a lot of people live here, to be fair.
It just didn't occur to me that it would be as busy as that.
Has it occurred to you, Jamie, that we may already have a wind turbine, and B, electric cars.
I thought this was like a desert Hebridean island.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an uninhabited one that we're stranded on. In that case,
Pabby. Let's call it Pabby. That's uninhabited.
Is it? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
But could you not walk from one side of Pabby to the other in 10 minutes? Like, I don't really think there's no roads for you to drive.
Oh, that's good.
Car,
well,
Jamie.
I can still go faster than you guys. So
an electric,
and I've got room for my heavies in the back as well. So
yeah. What you need is an electric quad bike.
So when you say your heavies, do you mean Arnie Schwarzenegger and GSB?
Yes. Why not? Fuck it. Why not? Actually, no. Since it's a Scottish island, I'll have Stevie Ray and JoJo Calderwood. So,
I'm laughing, but I don't know who they are.
They're fighters.
I know the Stevie Ray from the podcast.
I've heard about him. The fighty punch.
They make fighting. See, I didn't like the punch punch. I didn't like the violence.
The fighty punch punch. That's an interesting idea. Well, the first thing I thought that I would bring would be an actual fucking language. But,
That is racist!
Well, not racist,
yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
They're not a separate race.
I guess with Mark not being here, someone's got to keep the offence.
Bringing it's the right word as well, because you have Gaelic, don't you? So.
Yeah, you have it.
I don't have any Gaelic, but a lot of people up here would have Gaelic.
And in fairness, we have earwigged a few folk that a few conversations that have been in Gaelic.
They're talking about you.
It is interesting because it's not something that you're even used to or aware of, like down our side of the world.
Well, I know a little bit of Gaelic. For example, I'd go my horse in the island in my car.
My horse.
That's
around
so weird,
and around.
For goodness, I've never heard anybody use the phrase my horse, other than Donnie Dotterman.
Amazing.
Oh, the stories I could tell you about Donnie Dotterman, but I won't.
Ooh. Hand in a sock. It's
like,
what? All I said is hand in a sock. Everything else was up to you guys. Jesus Christ.
I think we could
possibly guess what the stories about Donnie Dotterman would be, given that he was a grown man who made special hats for himself and invented songs to sing to children during the day instead of doing a real job. So you can possibly guess what Donnie Dotterman did when he wasn't on the telly.
So there's a thing. You know the programme that's on like actual telly called DIY SOS?
Yeah.
So there's a programme on... on BBC Alabama called DIY with Donnie Dotterman.
Oh, holy shit.
But it's not DIY because it's there. But either way, it's a thing. So recently what they did was they did a makeover of the sort of old folks day visitor centre next to the bowling green. And they did DIY Donnie with that. And that was all over the place. Like, folk were loving that shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Johnny is not a joiner or a barkeep or have any trade.
But then neither of Nick knows. So he's obviously...
Johnny Dotterman is not a
musician. So what sort of thing... He's having a meeting and he's like, so what sort of thing were you wanting to do with the place? And then this sock puppet just slowly creeps up speaking Gaelic.
And this seagull, the seagull on his hat.
That would see, fly or clap.
The first time I met Donny Dotterman, not as Donny Dotterman, although everybody calls him Donny Dotterman, I mean, obviously that's not his actual name. The first time I met Donny, I was like super like starstruck, and I met him because I was seeing a guy playing you, and it was his uncle, and I just met him, like, just we were hanging out and he came round and I was like, fucking Donny Dotterman. And but Bush and Kevin, he was like, oh yeah, true, it's my uncle. And I was like, it's Donny Dotterman. And they were
this
like,
man is of legend.
Of my childhood. And they were like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, but you don't have any Gaelic. I was like, no, but we still
we probably
Dotterman.
Should have had because of the amount of Gaelic TV that we watched.
And they didn't realise that we got it. Because it wasn't on BBC Alapa, it was just on like
it was on BBC
on
Scotland.
The telly, yeah.
It was just a BBC Scotland, wasn't it? Yeah, it was just BBC
like in the mornings as well, there was always the Gaelic shows, and then in the evening on BBC Two, you would have the magazine show. I can't remember what that was called. And then ITV had Telefos as well, the news.
Yorpa was quite good, actually. Yorpa was like one of the events or European events, anyway, but in Gaelic.
And Anne presents.
Cool. Cool.
So apart from being a bit better language, what are you actually bringing?
What I would actually bring is a boat that can go out in all weathers. probably a submarine, maybe. Because, that's been my biggest challenge in getting to an island this weekend, is the lack of transport.
Jonah had a boat and God still fucked him up pretty bad.
Did you say Jonah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think he got there, mate?
That's what I would have, is some decent kind of transportation that would get me here, even when there's a swell or staff shortage or whatever the excuse was that they were trying to throw at us on Monday. On Tuesday when we couldn't get here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really it. That's what it would take, is some decent transport.
But actually, hang on a minute. I don't think you're allowed to take a boat. On the real desert island discs, you're not allowed to take a boat because you can get off the island. So I'm not sure you can have a boat to take to the island because you'll just be able to get off again.
You're missing the point there about
it. JB's electric car is fine because there are no roads for him to drive his electric car on. And you can't drive off the island. But
I'd just still be stuck on the island.
You'd never have made it.
Or I won't have made it.
You can have a boat. You can have a boat, but only use it. Sorry, the line keeps thinging.
No, it's
no, you're fine.
I was going to say you can have a boat, but you can only keep it on land.
A ice boat.
So if I want to get the boat to another island, I have to get a boat to put the boat on to get it to another island.
That's like when you buy a really posh new super yacht, they ship it to you on another boat. Mindfuck.
Boats on boats.
Or sometimes
have you seen these boats that carry like oil rigs on their backs?
Yeah, it's mental.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
Oh yeah, I saw one of them. So where our parents stay is up, you've got to go past the Cromarty Firth to get to mom and dad's house, and they take the oil rigs in there and they sit and hold them onto them until they go for decommissioning, and you often see boats in there with oil rigs on them, and they're just, and there'll be like three or four of the boats lined up with three or four oil rigs, and it's insane, and they're huge.
That's
oil rig graveyard.
So Lizzie, what would you bring?
So, it's about 6.5 years ago, I brought my entire life to Hebridean Islands. I brought it all.
Not much, was it?
Tell you what, it was £1,200 worth of removal van, is what it was. Yeah, so, I brought everything here, and I have remained here. But I thought I would use some personal experience. I appreciate this is not this Hebridean Island that we're on right now that we're talking about. This is or Pabby, nobody else there type island. So there's two things I would bring. First of all, kind of links to what Mags was saying about the midgie spray and the tights on the head. Nah, that it's not enough. It is not enough. Tights, they bite you through them, and I know. So what you need is a bee suit. You know, like beekeepers wear?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is the only thing. The only thing that will keep those fuckers off you.
Well, are you going to... Wait, Matt. Leslie, are you going to bring bees as well and keep bees since you've got a suit? Because then we could maybe get into some sort of honey racket here. I'm always looking
The bees would leave.
That's true. Yeah.
The bees would leave. We don't have bees here. Like badgers and foxes. We don't have them. They leave. I recently found out, actually, somebody tried to bring foxes in here because obviously we have a bit of a rabbit issue.
Uh-huh.
And on the news, they have a hedgehog issue.
So it was a hedgehog kill at one point.
Yeah, they have to because it's too many. Because we have no land predators apart from there's like polecats and wildcats, apparently, but you never. So, yeah, somebody tried to introduce foxes and they just all died. They just didn't like it and they wouldn't breed and they just died out. So, I'm wearing a full bee suit with, like, you know, the combined feet and hands to keep the midges away from me.
Fair enough.
Sorry, just on a slight side note, did anybody see, whilst you're talking about foxes and badgers, did anybody see the tweet that went viral this week where somebody was, like, and just looking after their friend's cat whilst they were on holiday, and they went in to feed the cat, and there was a badger sleeping in the cat bed. There's just this badger cuddled up in the cat bed, like looking up, being like, "No, I wasn't here. Honestly, it's like the cutest
meow, thing you've ever
seen. I have cats now."
Just stayed there. Apparently, when the people came in, it just looked at it and it went back to sleep. I was like, I've eaten a ton of cat food. The cats had obviously fucked off because they want nothing to do with it. And then the SSPCA came in and sort of poked it with a thing and then pushed it in the bum and then it ran away. So we're like, oh, problem solved.
I've just found the picture. It's like...
It's amazing.
It's underneath like a chair and that's a fucking badger. Looking at them like, what? It was in the left go. Near Falkirk.
Instead, they think it was just hungry and maybe because of the weather as well. And then it just came in, found tons of cat food, and it went, oh, nice and warm, I'll stay here for a minute.
Good for him.
I've been in similar situations myself, Jamie. I am bringing a second thing to this Hebridean island just because I feel it's an essential for life.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, this is a remote area, and sometimes there's not a... You know, it's hard life, and you need something that's going to give you pleasure.
Wait a minute, what?
I'm bringing a fucking washing line because there is nothing greater than a good drying day. And this place is really good for drying days. You can get your towels and your bin dried in 24 minutes. Nay bother. On a good drying day, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they were great drying days. So I'm bringing a washing line so I can string it between the trees that there will not be on my Hebridean island. I forgot about that. But anyway, between two sticks of driftwood that I've poked into the ground, and I'm making a washing line, and I'm just going to sit and watch my one item of clothing that I own drying, because I can't.
How are you gonna wash that item of clothing
in the sea? It's an island.
It'll be really salty though.
Sorry, there has to be fresh water, otherwise we'd die.
And also Lizzie, you're really, really bad for spilling your dinner down your front.
That's why I need the washing line. So I can wash it.
You can do it with some like stain remover or some soap or something as well, because like just dipping it in the water isn't going to get all your slathers out of your top, because you spill all your dinner down your front.
I've just got this image of Lizzie running around in the island naked but with a beekeeper suit on. Periodically taking it off to wash it in the sea.
I need to wash my beekeeper suit because it's white. And I'm not really generally allowed to wear white because I do slatter a lot.
Yeah, it'll be just covered in stains.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody ever appreciates the joy of a good drying day until you can, like, it's the middle of winter and it's dark and you can't get your wash and dry for like 6 days in your house because it's damp and cold, and then all of a sudden... It's a good fucking drying day. Out it goes. Sunday or no Sunday, my washing's going out.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, my neighbour in my old house, because obviously I don't have a garden now, so I don't have a dryer, but in my old house, she did used to chat to me that death would burn down hellfire on me for putting my washing out. I mean, she was also a bit a million years old and did have some sort of vascular dementia.
Oh, wait. Sorry, the line dropped out a bit for me there. Was she saying you'd go to hell for drying stuff on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for putting the washer out on a Sunday, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Your line didn't drop again. That's reality. But I could go to the pub and get drunk as long as I go in the back door and pretend I'm a man, but I can't put my washer out.
Well, you'd have no trouble with that.
You could also...
This is a silent stare. I appreciate it's not coming over on the radio. Fuck you, Cap.
Best thing.
Also, when we were up in the summer, we learned that there's only one shop that's open on a Sunday. It's the petrol station, and it's only open from 12 till 4. But as well as being the petrol station, it also has a gun. You can buy it. It's like the gun license place. So you can go and get like your ammunition for your gun and renew your gun license on a Sunday. And you can't put your washing out.
And you can fill your tanks for going diving. You can do that on a Sunday because he'll do that. And you can put petrol in your car, but I can't say, for example, do a workout at the gym or take the kids swimming or even to some play parks. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Oh, well. I think that.
Welcome to our Hebridean Island paradise.
It's so lovely. Come and stay.
Well, I upped and brought my whole life here, and wild horses wouldn't drag me back, I have to say. I know I'm a fifer abroad these days.
The fifer abroad.
I thought this could probably be a new segment because you had Dougie on from Canada, and now you've got me, and I'm definitely abroad.
Well,
could have a fifer abroad type segment.
You're abroad like a bird with a U.
That's where I was about to go with that. Abroad.
Abroad, or like a girl.
Hey, broad. Yeah.
She was a broad.
I don't understand.
It's an American word for a woman, abroad, like a bird, like abroad.
Abroad?
Yeah.
Like as in, I'm going abroad on my, like, what?
Broad is broad. A bird.
Are you calling me broad? Because I probably am.
I'm broad, but kind of in the middle.
I'm just a broad-shouldered woman. It's not my fault. It does not make me masculine, okay?
She's big-boned. Yeah.
I believe that Lizzie has a Hall of Fame for us.
Yes, I believe so too.
We've not done Hall of Fame for ages, have we?
For a good while.
I feel like it's a guest thing.
No, and I think we're needing to do more of it on these Desert Island Dicks weeks. So let's take a wee trip to our little house in Gagarin Way in Lumphinnans. Who are we putting in the Hall of Fame this week?
So, now this may be controversial, but I have checked with the podcast master who sat next to me, and he said as long as there is a clear connection to Fife, it is okay for me to place a fictional character in the Fife Club Hall of Fame. And there's a number of reasons why I've chosen this fictional character, but I was doing a wee bit of research today, you know, like you do. Tried Wikipedia. I'm going to say that was minimal amount of information. Cause he doesn't really exist, but he exists to me, and it was important.
Wait a minute.
The best thing I could find was the actual actor who plays the fictional character described this person who I'm proposing to go into the Fife Club Hall of Fame as just a wee normal fifer for Dalgetty Bay. So my proposal for the Fife Club Hall of Fame, Cutch is looking at me very strange, is Corporal Gary McClintock.
Yay! Oh, really?
Hello.
I love Gary Tank Commander.
Hello, it's me, Gary. Hello, Battersea Dogs Home. I just bloody love Gary Tank Commander. And he was from Dalgetty Bay. And there's a number of reasons why I think Gary Tank Commander needs to be recognised for the Fife Club Hall of Fame. First of all, it's just really funny. Secondly, he has specific dietary requirements like myself, so we've got stuff in common. Because Meggie, what's his favourite food? The only thing he eats, in fact.
Chaps. Plate of chaps, please. Can I get some chaps on a plate?
Just
a plate of chaps.
My usual. Plate of chaps.
Plate of chaps,
please. Best thing to do with a potato. We all know that.
I did not know
this bloody roasty malarkey.
Supposedly from Fife.
It's food I get to be.
Yes, don't get to be.
But then I've never really watched it at length because it just nips my heat.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's very funny. But you're best doing him. I think he's best. Like, the sitcom was funny, but he's better when he's, like, the pilot, the original pilot that he did for Channel 4, which is on 4OD, if you watch it, was hilarious because that was filmed in a proper, what do you call it, proper like fly on the wall documentary style. And he has all these little bits where they're like interviewing him face to face and he thinks he's being really serious, but he's just saying the most ridiculous things. And I think that's when he says that, like, for, like the Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, they just need to go and stay in Scotland for a while and get a house in Dalgety Bay, and then they wouldn't be so rich because everything's all right when you've got a house in Dalgety Bay. So yeah, that's all funny. And also
the election
The election stuff he did was amazing. It was so funny.
I don't like a lot of his other stuff, but his election interviews were really fucking good. So.
Yeah, they were spot on though. I think he managed to get the tone of them quite well.
It was so funny. By the
power of the Liberal Democrats, you deal your fix. The human hands are willing any.
It was so. Yeah. I really liked it. Also, the thing is, up here, so I have a number of friends, well, like friends of friends, people I know that I can walk through town here. In fact, we may discover it tomorrow night if we go out in Stornoway, and somebody will shout, "Gary!" because they call me Gary, because they think I sound like Gary Tonk Commander. I was once at a party with a number of people who I'd never met before in my life, and they specifically downloaded the Gary Tonk Commander app and played it at me for a number of hours. So I am the fair to with Gary, and if somebody's phoning at work and I know it's not somebody, like, I know who's phoning, I will answer the phone using, like, somewhere along the lines with Battersea Dogs Home. Hello, Argos. It's one of my faves.
No, it's me, Gary.
Oh, Gary.
I also liked it when it was his birthday, the episode when it's his birthday, and he just sits sitting there on his own singing, "Happy birthday to ya, Gary! Happy birthday to ya! Happy birthday, Gary!" I do sing that sometimes on my birthday to myself.
And in three series of Gary Tank Commander, there was one episode with a tank, and they lost it. That was the only episode that they had a tank in it, because they went to collect the tank and they lost it in the service station, like on the M8. So I'm proposing Gary Tank Commander goes in as the comedic element, because I don't think you've had any comedians go into.
Well, I think he's also our first fictional character.
First fictional.
Although there are a few, I think there's a few that I've seen that I might put forward at some
fictional
point.
Fictional fifers.
Yeah, fictional fifers, yeah, there's a few. Yeah. Aye, so, well, I suppose he can go and that'll be there.
Yay! Yeah.
Alright.
Love whatever. Gary.
This is a good excuse for us just to post lots of Gary Tank Commander clips on to the social site. We're sharing Gary Tank Commander stuff all the time.
Love it.
Fair enough.
And also, a lot of the cast of Gary Tank Commander have gone on to really great things, all of which on River City. Every single character from Gary Tank they're all in River City.
Fucking River City. Every time I go to Glasgow to visit Mags when she was at uni there, she's like, "Oh, that guy's in River City." Thanks. I don't give a fuck. Every pub run would be someone from River City in it. You could have just been making it up. I have no idea who's in River City.
When I was at uni and I smoked a lot of weed, I got really into River City for a while. We used to call it the RC.
Yeah,
when the OC was on. Yeah, and we had to like always time the dinner so it was ready at like 7:30 on like Tuesdays and Thursday nights, and we would sit and get baked and watch the RC. Yeah, I got quite. I can't remember anything about it, but I got really into it.
Wow. Roisin.
Yeah.
Roisin,
aye.
Those were the.
It was her. We used to see Alice a lot, who was also the wifey that was in Deacon Blue. She was always in
her
husband.
The Alky one, in the programme, not in real life.
Aye, she was an Alky, she was an Alky.
I want to get through
it. Allegedly, yes, allegedly.
We're talking about Scottish-based things. I watched Trainspotting 2 recently, which was really good. And what was great about it was, it actually felt like Edinburgh. Because it was shot in Edinburgh, and it didn't feel like Glasgow, like the last one, which was shot in Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
Can I reveal something? I've never seen Trainspotting. Full stop.
I don't understand how you've got to the age you are. I don't understand anybody that's got to the age they are and hasn't
seen
Trainspotting.
I have seen bits of it, like, but I've never.
You've never seen Trainspotting.
I've never watched the whole thing start to finish.
Or 20.2. 20.2 is so well, good.
That's,
I really enjoyed it.
That didn't come here. Mind, I don't have a cinema for more recent ones, but they I've never seen the first one all the way through. I don't know why. It's not a conscious decision. I just haven't.
Just don't get it. Don't get
and
it.
It's, but how would I watch it? It's not on things that I can watch it on. How, where would I find it?
On the internet.
DVDs, internet.
I don't have a DVD player. What does that tell
you? At your at friends' houses.
At friends'
houses.
You know
when you've got like friends who invite you round to their house to watch a film? Does that happen?
Like Netflix and chill?
No! Like your partner from work, who's... Yeah, like... yeah, you never got that far into watching a film at someone's house before.
I'm not a big film person, to be fair, though. Apart from, you know, like Dirty Dancing at Christmas.
Also... should we do a little quick chat, because I've not spoken to you for a while, about the fact that Pitch Perfect 3 is coming out this
Oh my days. I don't know.
So last Christmas I introduced Lizzie to Pitch Perfect and Pitch Perfect 2, which I'd been forced to watch by a friend of mine who was really into it, and actually I had to admit it was quite good in a really sort of cheesy, like enjoyable,
it's also
not
hilarious.
But yeah, but last Christmas Lizzie wasn't very well and Pitch Perfect was on the telly and I said, you should watch that. She sat completely silent all the way through and then turned around at the end and said, that was the best film I've ever seen.
And then immediately watched Pitch Perfect 2. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I don't get them.
So that's coming out.
I think Jamie gets Pitch Perfect.
Can you hear me?
If you like Pitch Perfect,
hello?
Keep silent.
Hello, Jamie.
Oh, you can hear me. I can't hear Max, so I'm sort of listening to half a conversation, but all I heard is, I think Jamie gets Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
It's great, Jamie. Have you seen it?
I don't mind Pitch Perfect. I don't think it's amazing.
You just talking to Jamie? I can't hear Jamie.
Yeah, we're fucking that, because you keep talking over him.
Okay, sorry. I can't hear him.
Well, this is slowly breaking down, but we're probably getting to the time where we should call it quits. Jamie, do you want to give us the socials?
Yeah, tell Max to shut the fuck up on the socials.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Max.
I can't hear her.
Okay.
So I bet you won't. Don't tell me to shut up! Anyway. please talk to us on Facebook.
That's killing her. Because we're laughing and she doesn't know why. Maybe it's absolutely killing her. Like, shut up, baby. He's doing the socials now. Shush now, Max. On you go, Jim.
Okay, so speak to us on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk or on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk or Instagram fiveclub.
That is perfect. And you know what, Jamie? You're so brave saying those things about her.
I know.
It's the fact that you won't say them to our face.
She's my
sister and I wouldn't have said those things.
Shut up, what's
the matter
with
you?
So
much fun.
It brings me to that time of the evening where I have to ask, Lizzie.
Oh fuck!
What's the motto for tonight?
Come and live on an island. It's really cool.
Fair enough.
Sorry, that was shit.
No, that's fine.
Think of a guy. There must be a guy tag commander
boat. I've said them all.
Right. Okay. That's fine. Let's call it quits for another evening. Okay, so goodbye from Stornoway.
Bye.
Fuck you, Mags.
Mags.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, sorry, I meant to say goodbye from Dunfermline. Goodbye.
Oh my god.
I have no eardrums.
Is that, is that how seagulls sound, Max?
I am bleeding.
Fucking
bounces.
Right.
That's, I told you, Lizzie, we have to do the sound effects. Like, there's no post-edit stuff. You have to do it.
You have no idea the amount of editing that I have to do to make that sound.
I get it. Yeah.
Right. A little bit of silence, please, people.
Can't hear it.
You're not going to use the seagull sound?
Everything's silent to me now because I've got no eardrums left.
But, okay.
Oh, a silent producer. Stop making noise in the background. Such a riot. Oh, now they're sending messages to each
other. Sounds like a cat being strangled.
She had to write it on her phone, so she didn't speak it.
Yeah. Right, okay.